Hi, I'm Serena.
And I'm Rachel.
We're the hosts of Book Tales.
If you like reading books,
drinking cocktails,
and Scottish accents,
then meet your new favourite podcast.
Come with us as we explore different themes from romanticy to horror and everything in between.
We pair each book with a bespoke cocktail and tell you everything you'll need to make one.
And each week, play our fun game tailored to each book.
Find Book Tales wherever you get your podcasts. So grab your book.
Grab your booze.
For Book Tales.
Hi guys, I'm Bree.
And I'm Allie. This is Off Script.
If you think about it, books are potential scripts for movies.
When this adaptation happens, typically it's disappointing because they went off script.
In this series, we will be talking about how off script they went.
Hello, everybody.
Welcome
to Off Script,
a podcast
where I'm Allie.
And I am Bree.
And Bree's not singing with me.
No, because I'm out in public right now.
That's how you get people to come to us.
I don't want to sing. I'm not singing.
Come on.
I'm not singing.
Come on.
Guys, we're at the Kent Nerd Party.
Yes. And oh my gosh, how fun has it been?
It's been super fun, actually.
Yes.
More fun than I anticipated.
I know. So we might get like, we'll see how smoothly you can edit this episode. But if we have people come sit down, I'm going to have to pause and go to the other one. We'll figure it out.
It's going to be a breeze. I'm not worried about that.
I'm more worried that I'm going to get jumbled and not remember what I'm talking about. So that's my warning to all y'all.
When does Allie ever know what she's talking about?
But not only are we at the Kent Nerd Party, but welcome to season 5.
Oh, I forgot. Yeah. You're right. Yeah. It's my birthday month.
It is.
We're not recording it in my birthday month, but it's my birthday month. Yes. It's my birthday picks.
I know. This was a good one.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
I literally only picked it because I love the TV show so much.
Well.
But now, man, guys, this is a tough one.
I know. We were talking back and forth. We're like, oh, crap, we got to choose which one is our favorite.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't either. It's going to be the end of this episode, I decide.
So. I know. It's it's tough.
Yep.
Guys, the thing that we haven't said is that we are covering Good Omens.
Oh, yes. We didn't say that?
No.
Oh, we just said it was a good one?
Yeah.
All right, you guys. So, here we go. Good Omens is a TV show. It's our first.
Our first television show.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Feels like it's not because
not because we're currently guys, I did not realize that I have been so afraid to schedule a TV show. Like, Allie's been wanting to do the series of unfortunate events for a long time.
And that's an easy one.
Yeah, and I've been like, I'm nervous to do TV shows. This is sketch. Nah.
Why is it sketch?
Because I've been worried that covering the TV show, uh-huh, because you know, a TV show is, like we've said, 7 hours long.
Hello.
Hi.
Oh, you're good.
I just want to take a picture of you.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, please. Of course. And so I've just been worried about the, like, we're watching a 10-episode series that's an hour long each, so it's going to be 10 hours long. And I've been like, do we cut it up by episodes? Do we do this? And then I was like, I'm dumb. Allie sits there and tells me the book, and then I tell her if it happened or not in the movie.
Yeah, so it's going to be exactly the same as all our other episodes.
Exactly. So then I think once I figured that out, my brain just kind of was like, we're doing them all.
Yeah, because you scheduled like 4 of them this season.
Five. We realized So we've got Good Omens. We've got All Be Gone in the Dark, which is coming at you next week. We've got Looking for Alaska, which is coming.
After.
But that one, okay, that one's not my fault completely, guys. That one was intentionally supposed to be season 4.
You're right. You're
so
right.
So that one I didn't put into this season on purpose. I just didn't want to get rid of it completely.
Yeah.
So that's why Looking for Alaska is coming out
this season
in 2 weeks. So literally we're covering 3 of our TV shows. Boom, boom, boom. Then we've got, in Stephen King's month, we're going to be covering The Outsider, which is a TV show.
Okay.
And then The Magicians, which is a five season?
And 3 books.
Yeah.
But they're all intermixed, so it's going to be a 2-parter episode. right? Yeah. That's the plan?
Yeah, it's a two-parter episode. John's going to be on that because it's his favorite book, movie. Sorry, guys, we just interacted with quite a few people. But anyways, so scheduling TV shows was always something that was scary for me. And so didn't realize it, accidentally planned it. We now have 5 TV shows going on this season. And 3 of them are back to back to back right now.
That's all right. We can do it. It's just really stressful with the prepping part. I don't think the actual episodes are going to be crazy. It's the prepping it.
Yeah, it's the getting ready for it. Mm-hmm.
All right. So here we are. Good Omens, right? Here's your synopsis for the day. The end of the world is coming, which means a fussy angel and a loose living demon who've become overly fond of life on Earth are forced to form an unlikely alliance to stop Armageddon.
Hell yeah. Who doesn't want to read and watch that?
I will say it's nothing like I had imagined. I don't know why in my head I really thought this was like a serious
I know. Allie kept texting me. She kept like, she was like, this book's funny.
I was not expecting a comedy. It is a total comedy book and show.
Oh, for sure. 1,000%.
It's so good.
I love it.
Yes. So, let's keep going.
Let's.
I'm multitasking here, people. So, we have author Terry Pratchett and Neil Gaiman. Let's try that again. Neil Gaiman.
Which I'm excited about because I did not realize that Neil Gaiman is basically an author that we're about to see multiple times on the podcast.
Really?
He wrote Stardust.
Okay.
He wrote Coraline.
Oh.
Yeah. I was like, hold on.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Director was Douglas McKinnon.
Mm-hmm.
Screenplay writers was Neil Gaiman.
Makes sense.
Yep. And because it's a show, there's a lot of screenplay writers because many do different episodes, right?
Mm-hmm.
So John Finnemore, Kat Clark, Jeremy Dyson, and Andy Nyman. Now, amazing. I just got this off of
IMDb.
IMDb. So some of those could have been for season 2.
Oh.
But we're only doing season 1 because that's the only... That's
one that has a book.
Yeah.
Or a physical book, yes. I should say.
Hi.
Hello. Because when I was at Comic-Con, I went to David Tennant's panel, and he actually did explain that because Neil is a writer on it, he was like, this is what me and Terry had sat down and talked about for a potential sequel. We just never got around to writing it.
Because Terry passed away.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And then our audiobook reader was Martin Jarvis, and he did pretty good.
I was going to say, how was it listening to it?
Oh, you're going to hate this. He did good.
Yeah?
It was funny. But I went to look up so I could figure out who did the audiobook.
Yeah.
If I had bought it on Audible, it would have been the cast. Yeah. So David Tennant and all of them would have been
reading. I might have to go buy that book on Audible.
I know, right?
I would listen to that audiobook so often.
I know.
It would be like the TV show without the show.
Right?
Oh, that's amazing.
Hi.
Wow, I'm mad.
I know.
I'll go buy it. Oh, I'm mad you didn't. Oh,
I didn't know. I just got it free off the library app, and they didn't have the good one.
Well, they suck. Why is there even an option without the cast?
I'm wondering if it was brand new.
Man, if David Tennant read all of the books that we ever did, I would 1,000% listen to that. He's, in covering Good Omens, I have realized I am a massive Tennant fan.
Okay.
Massive. To the point where I'm 1,000% positive if I did not watch Matt Smith's episodes first,
yeah,
Tennant would be my doctor.
Okay.
For certain.
You're even dressed as him today.
I am dressed as him today. He is my favorite. Of course. My pictures with Matt, I've already explained how much I hate those pictures.
I know.
What I was going to say is, out of the 3 doctors I have met, my favorite doctor picture that I have is with Tennant.
Mm-hmm.
And man, I just, Tennant's just a great person.
Okay. Well.
Now that I've gone on my Tennant tangent. Yes.
Let's keep going. So the book came out May 10th, 1990, and the show came out May 31st, 2019. That's 29 years.
Yeah, and honestly, I went into the show knowing that this was a book because I was trying to figure out how I knew it was a cult classic. When
you went in before, like, it's not that it popped up saying it was a book.
I went into the show knowing that it was a book.
Okay.
And so part of me felt bad doing that, but this was like, I watched this right at the height of the pandemic where I was like, I have been sitting in my house for 3 months straight, nothing to do. What am I going to do? And then I had binged Friends, Gilmore Girls. I had gone through all my rewatches. Mm-hmm. I can't even remember what other new show I had watched, but I'd watched another new show. And then I was like, I need something. And then I don't even know how or why I chose this one, but I think it was Tenet.
Brand new.
Yeah, it was brand new. It was Tenet. I was like, might as well.
Yeah. So that's which first? You read it first.
Yep. Look, I am so good at answering that.
Before
we even ask that question.
Well, I read it first.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I made Allie do that because I had watched it.
Yep. So what are your thoughts on the plot, the story?
It's so fucking fun.
It's so fun.
So fun. It's when I started this show, because, again, it's kind of, you go into it and you're like, okay, it's going to be super religious. Like, this is like, eh. But I was also like, okay, but it's also Michael Sheen and Tenet. That's what it was. No, they had started doing a comedy bit during the pandemic with each other, and their chemistry was phenomenal in these little videos. And I was like, I want to watch their show because they're so good together. And so I went and watched the show.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, I was a little bit weary because I was like, this is going to be religious. I don't know if I'm going to like this. Like, it's going to be weird. But then the second they start, like, mixing up the babies with the Antichrist, I was like, this is the funniest thing I've ever seen. And Tenet just doesn't care.
He does not.
And then the nurse is, like, thinking she's giving it to the right family, and she's like, here's your baby. It's so good.
It's so funny. Yeah, I really loved it. When I started it, it said Crowley, and I'm like, oh, that's a supernatural character. And then the whole book is so supernatural like that I'm like, oh my gosh, this is so fun. So yeah, I'm all about it.
Yeah, it's a good one.
So why'd you pick it for your birthday month?
Because I loved the show. Like, the show, my first time watching it, I had watched it, and then I had a trip to Sierra like a few months after I had finished it, and me and Sierra, whenever we get together, we always watch Doctor Who, and I can't remember. Oh, because at this point in time, I did not have the streaming service for Doctor Who. Mm-hmm. And so she is my, like, she had purchased her favorite episodes in college. So I love the show. And literally right after I watched it, I immediately knew I needed to read the book.
Hi.
How are you?
Our podcast.
And so I knew I needed to read it, but man, finding time to read sometimes can be hard.
Yep.
And so, and my TBR guys would scare anyone.
Yeah. Like, I'm like, oh, this is a good, have you read this book? And like, looking through her books in her room, she's like, nope. I was like, what about this one? Nope. It's on my list.
I'm like, Allie, I literally have a bookshelf. There is a bookshelf for my, like, these are your next ones you need to read.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, and I have sucked at reading.
Maybe it's because of all these off-script books we have to read.
Especially since we started out with, like, all of my rereads.
Yes, right? What were we thinking?
Hey, now we're basically to the point where I'm really excited. This month is a bunch of books that I haven't read, but I've watched. Yeah, I've read them, but I haven't watched their thing for my birthday month. next month my next birthday month I got to choose ones that I haven't read or watched. Mm-hmm.
So that's been exciting. In a year.
Yeah. Little sneak peek for you. But yeah, so I've started to really have fun with this.
Cool.
With picking our books.
Yep. All right. Well, I got some fun facts for you, and I'm so excited for this first one.
Oh, yeah. I forgot. She told me that there was one that she's dying to tell me.
Oh, no. It's not the first one. It's the second one. Okay. All right. So we got some Allie super fun facts.
Okay. Do that louder in public.
No, I'm good. Okay. So according to Neil Gaiman, co-author Terry Pratchett's last request to him before his death in 2015 was for Neil to write the screen adaption. Previous attempts to bring the book to television failed due to not being able to find a writer to adapt the book while keeping its spirit and humor. What?
That was making me cry.
Oh my gosh. That wasn't even the good one. She's legit crying, you guys. What is happening?
Oh, that caught me in my feels.
Oh my gosh. Okay, well, here, you'll like this one.
Okay.
So Terry Gilman tried to adapt this movie several times over 10 years before admitting defeat. He came the closest in January 2002 when he had Robin Williams on board to play Aziraphale and Johnny Depp for Crowley. But, oh no, he had raised $50 million from investors and he just needed Hollywood studio and a bit more money to start production. His confidence in the project was completely shattered when he found himself pre-Pirates of the Caribbean. So no one really knew, like, Johnny wasn't super
a thing, even though he was.
Right. Nobody wants to see Johnny Depp is what everybody told them.
Could
That's
you imagine?
Bullshit. Oh my god. I never thought I would ever think anyone could be a better Crowley. Oh, my heart.
He would have been so good, too.
He would have been amazing.
I don't know how Robin Williams would have done.
Robin would not have been great. I don't think he would have had the right chemistry with Johnny either.
Goofy.
Yeah.
And Aziraphale needs more serious. I mean, Aziraphale Robin Williams needs, like, can definitely do serious.
He needs anxious serious.
Yes.
Which is the problem.
Hi.
Yeah.
But Johnny Depp, oh, man.
I know. Okay, number three. Adam's earthly father, Mr. Young, has the license plate number 510RAT, which reads TARDIS backwards. This is one of a numerous Doctor Who Easter eggs that appear throughout the series.
So, you know what's funny? Hmm. Oh, wait, in the book?
No, in the movie.
I'm going to let this train pass. So, I'm sad that I missed that TARDIS one, because that's like hit you right in the face one.
I mean, it was backwards.
I mean, backwards, yeah. Like,
you
let me
look at it.
Oh, yeah, no, I would never, nope, not in a second realize that.
No.
But there are a few other things. I can't think of them off the top of my head, but, like, there is a line that Tennant says that I remember the first time I watched it. I was like, they said that because he's the doctor.
No, how funny.
But,
cool.
Yeah.
Okay. Number four, Neil Gaiman revealed at a panel during New York Comic Con 2018, the Bentley used in the show is a 1934 model. Neil admitted that no research was done on cars before writing the book, so when it came time to select the car, they found the 1929, which is in the show, and it didn't have the look he wanted, so that's why they switched it. I just thought it was nice because we're always like, why do they switch such an easy
thing? Well, what's fun, I never would have known that was different.
I wouldn't have either, but
for those of you that knew,
yes,
that's why.
So the final scene Michael Sheen filmed for season one was the Nazi scene in Hard Times 2019. He had to excuse himself because he went and cried after that one.
Aww.
I really don't remember the specific scenes.
I legit don't either.
Whatever it was very emotional.
I, like, vaguely remember it, but I don't know. To me, it wouldn't be something that would be sad. I don't think. Not super sad.
All right. Yeah, that was all my fun facts.
Yeah.
Are we ready?
We're ready. We're okay. Doing it.
Let's do it.
Hello.
You don't know anything about
it. Oh, no, it's fine. They can share about the nerd party, too, if they want.
Yeah.
Are you having fun?
Yeah.
That's cool. Awesome. And what's been your favorite part?
What's your favorite part?
Narnia.
That's a great series.
Do you like the movie, too?
Yeah.
Yeah? Very cool. That's good. Do you like, which one do you like more? Do you like the book or the movie more?
Movie.
Movie, very cool. Awesome.
Yeah, we're big readers in our family.
That's awesome.
Yes.
I also just read your shirt and I love it.
Yes.
Thank you.
Amazing.
Thank you.
Awesome.
Don't worry
about yep. Because everyone else brings cookies, but no, everyone forgot the flashlight.
I know.
How are you supposed to see in the dark side?
How do you see to eat those cookies?
Well, would you like to introduce yourself?
My name's Jeff Bailey.
Hi.
Nice to meet you. I'm Bree.
I'm Allie.
Oh, good to meet you.
Yeah. And so we're covering Good Omens, and you've read and seen it, right?
Yep, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. What?
Absolutely.
What have been your thoughts on the adaptation?
I thought they kept to the primary plot of the book better than most series.
Yeah.
I've been a Terry Pratchett fan for a very, very long time. Read all the Discworld books. Own all the Discworld books. So seeing that he'd partnered with Neil Gaiman back when it first came out was awesome. I was super excited and absolutely hilarious.
I thought
I'm glad they waited as long as they did to adapt it, though.
Mm-hmm.
I know a lot, 20, 30 years ago, a lot of the adaptations really suffered from the lack of technology to be able to properly portray what what the author had in mind.
Mm-hmm. In the scene where Crowley goes into the telephone, that's all I could think. I was like, man, if they tried to do this when this book first came out, it would be a completely different show.
No, I've enjoyed it. I didn't expect it to be so witty. And so when I read it, because I read it first, and I was like, oh my gosh, this is like such an enjoyable read.
Because
you watched it first.
I did. I watched it first. I knew it was like this cult classic. Everyone loved the book.
Yeah.
But then I just watched the show because I love Tenet. And so I was like, let's watch it.
Yes.
And then I immediately fell in love. I was like, I need to read this book.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Do you have a favorite character?
Probably Crowley.
Yes.
I mean, just
yes.
The sardonic acceptance of his fate.
Yes.
It's like, I'm a demon. What you gonna do?
Yeah, whatever.
Mm-hmm. I love that.
Very good.
Do you prefer one over the other?
I typically will prefer the book over the movie. Mostly because of the detail.
Yeah.
You know, most books give you so much more depth and detail than they have time for in a 2-hour movie.
Right. Yeah.
There have been a couple of exceptions, but most of the time I prefer the book.
Yes.
So,
very good. Yeah.
This one is one of the ones that's actually been
hard for me to decide. Yeah.
I have to, at the end of all of our podcasts, that's what we ask ourselves. And this one, we've been like, oh no, we have to choose.
Awesome.
Yeah, I think I'd have to say the book, though, on this one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And what comes to mind is the descriptions of the four horsemen.
Yes.
And the items they acquire and encountering each other. There's a vividness in the book that's hard to capture on a screen.
That's great.
I do agree.
Yeah. Definitely. I know I loved just the wittiness. Like, I've never read a book that is funny. Like, I've read books that try to be funny, and I'm like,
you haven't read much other Pratchett then, have you?
I have not. So
that part of it is so Pratchett.
Okay.
The twist humor.
Okay.
It's like, oh, hey, here's the serious situation. But really?
That's
classic Pratchett.
All right, I'm going to have to go.
His Discworld series is amazing for that.
Okay.
He's one of those authors that likes to take a normal seeming situation and turn it on its side to really make you look at it and go, okay, that doesn't actually make sense. And he does that with all of his books.
Awesome.
That's awesome. Yeah. We actually just got recommended to read Hogfather.
Hogfather.
Yeah.
One of the best of the series.
Really?
Absolutely. And the movie's fantastic too.
Okay.
In fact, it's become a family tradition of ours that we watch Hogfather every year.
Oh,
we love it that much. Yeah. It's great.
We'll definitely have to do it. So.
Important to note, Hogfather is a little bit deeper in the series.
Okay.
And so there are nuances that you won't pick up unless you've read a couple of the previous ones.
Good to know.
You can read it standalone, and it's fantastic, but there are nuances that you won't pick up unless you've read a couple of the earlier ones.
That's good to know. Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you for that, because we probably would have went into it and been like, wait, what?
Well,
I mean, with the premise of Death's granddaughter, or the main character, but some of the earlier books actually talk about where his granddaughter came from, how the personification of Death itself even has a granddaughter.
Wow.
It gets into some of that explanation in a couple of the earlier books.
That's awesome.
Oh, this sounds like a series that I need. I never even read it.
It's so funny. It's so funny.
Awesome.
Awesome.
Well, thank you so much.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes, thank you for having me on.
Yeah, thank you.
All right.
Yep, you're very welcome.
Yes. All right.
Awesome.
All right, are we ready to do some comparing?
Of course we are.
Okay, so it kicks off. Book kicks off. An angel, Aziraphale, and a demon, Crowley. They're chatting at the Garden of Eden, and they seem like friends. And we learn some backstory on how the universe was made.
Yeah.
Okay, that happens.
Guys, this is one where a lot of my notes, I felt like as I was watching it to compare, I realized that I was going to have to start to get nitpicky about things. So, heads up, some of my notes are going to be like, you're going to be like, Brie, why do you care about that? That's because...
the wrong car, not the right car.
It's literally because if I didn't, I would be like,
Okay, so then Crowley is meeting with two other demons, and... they're reporting all their bad doings. Like, Crowley's like, I shut down the internet for a little bit. And they're like, that is the stupidest thing. I convinced a priest to have dirty thoughts. Or
about a girl.
Yes, or a politician to do whatever.
To be a scumbag.
And he's like, no, you gotta think bigger. We're in the 21st century.
This
20th century.
Screw him up, and this is gonna last forever.
Yep. Well, he's really enjoying human life, but these two senior demons are like, here's a clipboard and a basket. It's his time. And he's like, no, because in that basket is Satan's kid.
It's the Antichrist.
Yep.
And in this, Allie is not saying the part that I had to get nitpicky about, but when they...
probably not going to say nitpicky things if I think so.
I know. When they give him the basket, they have him sign... and in the book, he tried to sign his earthly name, and they're like, that's not right, and made him sign his demon name.
Yep.
In the show, he just signed correctly right away.
Yep. So, they go to this hospital. It's full of satanic nuns. This is a real fun podcast to be talking about in public.
Hell yeah. Well, no, I knew Good Omens was going to be a nerd party book.
Oh, yeah. No, it's been real good.
Yeah.
It's just weird saying Satan over and over in public.
Antichrist.
So there's this nun, Mary, and she's so excited. She's like, oh my gosh, we're getting the Antichrist. I'm so excited. And there ended up being a switch. So they were switching the son of Satan. I loved how they did it in the book where they're like, son of Satan. Da-da-da-da-da-da. They, like, listed it off.
They list all of his names off.
And they do that, like, every time they bring him up.
Yep.
So funny. Anyways, so he's going to... the plan is for him to grow up with this American politician or diplomat. There we go.
Mm-hmm.
And, but a mix-up happens, so he ends up going to this, like, random family's house.
Mm-hmm.
But... Crowley didn't know that.
Because he's following the correct family.
Yes, that it was supposed to go to.
And so he's like, Aziraphale, I don't want to come back to, or I don't want the world to end. This place is awesome. I love sleep. I don't want to not sleep. So then they're like, okay, so we're going to go and influence this boy to make sure that he doesn't become the Antichrist.
Mm-hmm. But so this son of Satan's name is Adam. Okay. And then the diplomat's son, who they thought was,
is the Antichrist,
is Warlock.
It's hilarious.
Like, how
I'm like, why did you name the Antichrist Adam?
But like, Warlock, who agrees? It's like, oh, that's a beautiful name, because these nuns were trying to give like names, biblical, but like,
well, I
names.
So, the TV show does this a little bit better than the book, in my opinion, where you realize that the family who's getting the Antichrist is kind of in on it. So the family knows. So when the woman suggests Warlock, they're like, ah, that is a good name for the Antichrist. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Do they know in the book?
I totally just mixed that up. I meant in the show.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't pick up in the book that they knew.
No, they do not explain it in the book.
Mm-mm.
In the show, like, Ron, that's not his name.
Ron Swanson.
That's exactly what I was going to say.
Oh, my gosh.
I've watched too much Parks and Rec. Neil?
Nope. Nick Offerman.
Nick Offerman.
There you go.
God, I'm sorry, Nick. Shit, and now because I just screwed his name up, I forgot what I was going to say. But basically, his character, how he plays it, he's like, he's announcing to the president that he's had his child, and he's like, I've had my human baby, my perfectly normal human son. So then I'm like, oh, family knew about this, whereas the book doesn't do that.
Yeah. All right. So, as Bree said, oh, wait.
Another difference here is Crowley is who tells Aziraphale about the Antichrist, whereas in the show, Gabriel is the one who comes and tells him. And it's because Gabriel becomes a very prominent figure throughout the series into season two. And so that's kind of why they had to throw him in there.
Yeah. So, as Bree had said, Aziraphale and Crowley are like, we're going to go and try and not let this happen. And so Aziraphale's plan.
Hi there.
Hello.
Good, how are you?
Good.
So Aziraphale's plan is like, okay, I'm going to be the gardener. And I'm going to like influence goodness. And mm-hmm. Crowley's going to be the nanny, influence darkness.
That sure as shit happens.
So we learn about Aziraphale, and he has a very large collection of books. And he ran like this bookstore, and one he didn't have, though, was the correct accurate prophecies for the last 300 years.
Hi. Hello.
But funny, it was only 60 miles away from them, and they had no idea, because the great-great-great-granddaughter of this witch who made them is over here.
Amarantha?
Yep. That's how you say her name?
Oh, Anathema. Yeah. Sorry.
I was like, there's a couple extra R's in there.
Holy fuck. On our Instagram, we've started following a shit ton of my Sarah J. Maas author, like, fan things. And Amarantha is a bad character. Is a gray character in that book series.
Oh, got so, it. Okay, well.
Yeah, that happens.
Has anything, like, additional happened yet?
No, okay. Not yet. Like, get to Crowley finding out about the Hellhound.
Okay. So now we're introduced to four different people. So we have Scarlet, who's a woman that men seem to always get in fights when they're around her. Sable is a super sleazy guy who's making this chow, which is like food that isn't food. Mr. White works on this cruise ship. And a mysterious person we don't know much about. And throughout the book, I just put it all right here because it's easier. Throughout the book, they're each signing a package, and we'll see what comes of that.
Yeah. This is the part in the TV show that doesn't get quite explained until later.
Mm-hmm.
Like, these four characters are not a thing until basically two or three episodes till the end.
Yeah, but they do a job like
two or three episodes to the end. That's halfway through. I keep thinking that this is like an 8 or 10 episode series and it's six guys. So,
but they do it like the book does, where they sprinkle it, like they don't just clump them all together. So it's like, oh wow, what this is happening? This is happening, and it's all throughout. So they do that.
Okay. So they're sprinkled throughout still, but mm-hmm.
All right.
It's not. The book does a better job at, like, making you go, ooh, what is this?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. So, Crowley. This is what we were talking about. Crowley and Aziraphale are playing nanny and gardener. But with Warlock, not Adam. So, not the son of Satan.
Correct. Who they think is the son of Satan.
Yes. So, then it's, like, on his 11th birthday. That's when everything's going to start happening. So, they're at his little birthday party. And a hellhound is supposed to come to him. And once he names the hellhound, then Armageddon starts. But the hellhound is not coming. So Crowley's like, excuse me, where is it? And he calls hell. And they're like,
where's the hellhound?
They're like, we sent it. And he's like, oh, yeah, there it is.
Oh, I see it.
And then he hangs up and he's like, oh, we have a problem here.
So... in the movie, the TV show, goodness, I'm going to say movie for all of our TV shows, everyone, so bear with me. But in the movie, Aziraphale and Crowley keep having to go and check in with their respective higher-ups. Mm-hmm. So Aziraphale is going to heaven and talking to Gabriel, or like Gabriel's just hanging out at a bar and he's going to talk to him. And Crowley keeps having to go to hell to chat with his people. And so in the show, Crowley goes down there and is talking to them. And they're like, oh, check out this hellhound that we picked out for him. It's perfect. That's how he finds out about the hellhound. In the book, I fucking wish this happened. Because Crowley's watching the Golden Girls. And one of the things that Crowley has, like, basically created is a way for him to be able to communicate with all of the demons in hell. Yeah, so Crowley has come up with this way to communicate with hell, and it's through technology. And so it's through the TV, through his phone, through the radio. And so he's watching the Golden Girls.
Hello.
Hi. And then freaking a higher demon comes on. It's like, we've picked the hellhound. Like, talking through Blanche.
So cute.
Oh, I thought it was hilarious.
Well, now we're following the hellhound in the book.
And oh.
Those are more.
Because you already got to basically the end of the birthday party.
Yep.
Because the birthday party is also a little bit different. In the book, what causes all mayhem to break loose is Aziraphale's magic. But then, like, the security guards that are there, the kids get their guns and, like, start pretending to shoot each other with them. And then Aziraphale makes them water guns. Mm-hmm. And that does not happen in the movie show.
No.
It's just an all-out food fight that Crowley just walks away from.
Yeah. I will say it was really helpful watching, because this book has so many characters.
Mm-hmm.
That...
Oh, I never showed you the... There's a cheat sheet in the book. You say what you're going to say.
Okay, though. So this has so many characters that I don't know. If you miss one little sentence, basically you get confused. So the sentences I missed, I didn't realize until I watched the show that Crowley and Aziraphale were the nanny and gardener.
Well, okay, so the book also doesn't explain that well. I was just going to ask you, okay. But then your notes kind of made it seem like it did, so then I was like, oh, no, maybe I misread it.
Because I was like, how did I miss that?
No, the book, like, doesn't they say that they're going to send them.
Yeah.
But it makes sense that, like, it would be them.
Yeah,
because
it's only them coming up with this plan.
Exactly. So it makes sense.
Send other people.
It's never specifically. It's how it's said is like a nanny who looks like Crowley comes or something like that.
Okay. See, I missed that part. And then another one was.
Here's the Allie was confused with all the different characters. And I was like, oh, well, at the start of the book, like the physical book, there's a whole entire like, here's the cast.
That's cool.
Awesome. Well, and then another one that confused me was there was a magician at the birthday party, and I didn't realize it was Aziraphale until I watched the show.
Yeah.
So if you miss a little sentence,
you're going to miss it.
Yeah. So I was glad I watched it, and I was glad it was so accurate, because I was going through and I was like, oh, I must have missed that. And clearly it's right because it's in the show.
And the show's spot on. Yes. Another thing that happens too after the birthday party, because Aziraphale has been doing magic tricks with this dove. And so the dove's been in his pocket, and so it gets squished to death. And so Aziraphale in the show brings it back to life. But in the book, he does not want to do any kind of miracles. He is like, I'm here on earth, but I'm not here to be doing stuff like that. I'm here to participate but not be doing my thing. And Crowley's like, just do it. And he's like, no, I'm not going to. And so then Crowley does it for him. And so in the book, it's Crowley who brings the book back to life, the bird back to life.
Oh yeah, yeah. All right, so now we're following the hellhound. We got more.
Oh, another thing that doesn't get explained in the book is,
the show.
Nope, in the show, you're right, yeah. In the show is that the Bentley, every time a tape gets put in the Bentley, no matter what it is, after it plays like a little bit of the one song, it turns into a Queen song. And I think that's hilarious. The show does a good job, and Queen is literally the only soundtrack, but
it doesn't explain that.
It doesn't explain that. Guess what? The reason is because you put in... I almost said Michael Jordan. Yeah, put Michael Jordan in your radio.
Listen to those basketball hoops.
That was my dribble sound. What the hell was that?
I was swooping. Oh, gosh.
What?
Hello.
Hi.
And so now we're with the Hellhound.
Yep, now I'm good.
Okay. So we're following this hellhound, and he keeps hearing his master. So he's like slinking closer, being all sneaky hellhoundish. And eventually he sees his master, and it's Adam. The dog has all these urges. Well, first he sees him, and he's like, I'm going to adopt you and name you Dog. So now he's named.
No, he doesn't see him. All this happens without the dog being seen at first.
Oh, he just says, I'm going to find a dog, and or I'm going to adopt a dog and name it Dog.
And Hellhound's like, yes, my master wants me. And then the Hellhound is like listening, because then the guy's like, I'm going to say his name. And then...
Okay, so he didn't know the dog was there. So, but he says, I'm going to name him Dog. And then Dog turns into this little fun little puppy, basically.
Yeah.
And he's like, I want to go wag my tail and jump on him and have fun.
Basically, the Antichrist has now turned his hellhound into a dog.
Yes, a fun little family pet.
Mm-hmm. Because that's what he wants. And this hellhound is like, I am here to please my master.
Yep. And this is when Aziraphale and Crowley are like, oh my gosh, did the babies get switched? And they're off to the hospital to figure that out.
They're like, is there a chance this happened?
Mm-hmm. Did I say the same?
That happened.
All right.
Well, I mean, the changes I've already said.
Okay. So, now we're following a new character. Her name is Anathema. She's a witch. She's doing some astronomy outside. And this is what we said. She's the great-granddaughter of the witch who made all the prophecies. Mm-hmm. And Crowley and Aziraphale didn't have their lights on because they're demons and angels and they don't need to have lights on to see. And they ran her over. Whoops. Her bike's all messed up and everything like that. But they, of course, you know, Aziraphale being an angel is like, I'm so sorry. And gets out there and he's like fixing everything up. But he's like majorly fixing it up. And she's like, that wasn't like that. And Crowley's like, what the are you doing? Then he goes and fixes it. And then, when they were departing and they dropped her off, hello! Hello. So anything about... Fixed.
No.
Anagma.
Anathema?
I said Anagmatha, so I was close.
No, my next thing is when Crowley and Aziraphale are at what is supposed to be the hospital.
Okay, so Aziraphale and Crowley continue to the hospital.
Wow.
And they figure out what happened.
to figure out what happened. The hospital is no longer a hospital, though, because it got burned up by demons.
Yes.
But they're having, like, this retreat thing, like, building, like, team building thing where they're all shooting each other with paintballs, everybody that works there now. Because what is it now? It's like a...
I could not for the life of me figure out what it was. It was like...
Some office...
Yeah, it's like an thing. Office job, but...
Not
they
office.
They also are guys who walk around with guns.
I don't know. No, they were doing... Yeah. Weren't they doing
They were paintballs? Doing paintballs, but they also had guns on the property, yeah. too.
I don't know what they were.
Yeah.
So, Crowley's like, haha, this is gonna be fun, and he turns all the paintballs to... real guns.
Oh, that's what happens.
Yeah.
That's where my brain is. Yeah, no, I think it's just an office job.
Okay.
I think it's a government office job thing.
Yeah. But he also made sure that they weren't actually going to hurt each other.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because he
was also
good. He used to be an angel, you guys.
I was going to say, he's the... How I explained it to Allie was he's like chaotic evil. Or wait.
No.
Chaotic neutral.
Yeah.
Chaotic neutral. And Aziraphale's chaotic good.
Yep, I can see that. So, they run into Mary, and they're trying to figure out what happened. And turns out the babies got switched, like they thought. So, on the way home, they find this random book in the car, which was Anathema's. And Aziraphale's shocked because she realizes, or he realizes, that, oh my gosh, I know what this is. It's the prophecy book I've always wanted.
Yeah, he's so excited.
But he, like, hides it from Crowley.
Yes. Well, in the show, one thing Allie doesn't say is that as they're walking into the building that was the hospital, Aziraphale gets hit with a paintball. And it stains his white jacket, and he's so sad. And then in the book, he miracles away the stain. But in the show... Crowley does. And I told Allie, this TV show definitely plays into Crowley and Aziraphale being in a relationship or having feelings of love towards one another.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas the book doesn't really cover that.
Not so much.
Yeah.
Not obviously.
Yeah. Like, this is one of the parts because Aziraphale is really sad and he's like, but again, I can't do a miracle. I can't do this. This sucks. And like Crowley's Hello. Like, just do it. And he's like, no, because I'll always know that the stain was there. So then Crowley comes up and just does it for him. And it's a very sweet moment.
Cool.
And that's my only difference there.
Okay. So Adam and his friends, now we're following them. They decide to play witches. And they run into Anathema and Adam's group. She could tell something was off with Adam because he doesn't have an aura around her or him, and she can see if people are good or evil or bad, but he doesn't have an aura at all. And
so in the show, she actually tells Adam this. She's like, I can't see your aura.
Right.
In the book, she just keeps that to herself.
Yeah.
Because why would...
How would we know, though?
Why are you trying... Exactly. That's exactly why they did that, but why?
Yeah. So, she's just saying how flustered and upset she is because she lost a book, and Adam's like, we'll help you find it.
He doesn't say that in the show, does he? I don't remember him offering to help her find it.
I think he does.
He does.
Yeah.
You're right. Yep.
Okay. So, I'm just going to lump them all here because they happen throughout the entire book, but these random occurrences keep happening. So, a factory lost uranium. And their nuclear bombs. A whale hunting ship was attacked by a kraken. People found Atlantis. Aliens come and tell that the ice caps are too small. And trees grow super fast. So all these phenomenons happen throughout the book. And it's all related to Adam.
Yeah, it's all conversations he's having with his friends. And then it jumps to this kraken in the sea. Or it jumps to the trees.
Yeah, like they're like, we need to save the whales. And then it jumps to this whaling ship getting attacked by a kraken so that those whales get saved. Mm-hmm. Or the trees are dying. So then it jumps to this guy who loves this tree and then it grows like crazy. So it was cool.
Yeah, it was. And in the show, that
they like show it, but they cut things out of them so that it's not this long drawn out thing.
All right, y'all. So just a reminder, we recorded part of this. Just a reminder, they legit are listening to it right now.
Oh, yeah.
Just a reminder for us.
Well, no, I just wanted to be like, here is where.
Yes.
We are now no longer at the nerd party.
If you could not tell by the silence that your speaker suddenly just
experienced.
Yes.
But you also might be experiencing some animal noises because I am with Roscoe and Aspen.
Mm-hmm. House sitting puppies.
Yeah.
Yes. Wow.
Roscoe can't figure out how to sit right now.
But anyway, so yeah. So sorry we didn't have a better transition. We kind of just cut off and then cut back to...
Mm-hmm.
But I mean,
we had like a lot of people actually want to talk to us. And so we kind of, that was priority.
Yeah. So we just, that's why we had to, we kept pausing the whole time. So that, because people came and talked to us. So one of those pauses, we just never came back. So that's,
I'm going to do my best to edit it and make it sound a little bit more flawless, but
'tis what it is.
Yeah, I realized when I was editing the actual Nerd Party episode, I was like, oh, that's going to sound a little bit wonky, but hey.
It'll work.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's pick up to where we are, shall we?
Let's.
So we're following this guy named Newt, and he's looking for a job. He tried to get one in computers, but he always breaks the computers. He's just horrible with technology. Then he found this guy named Shadwell, and he's talking to him, and apparently he's a witch hunter, and he decided to join in on all the fun. And Aziraphale is jumping back to him. He's looking over this book of prophecies that he found.
Basically, that happens.
Okay. Newt shares that the weather is perfect in this one town, which is very mysterious because weather is never perfect, and that's witch business. So he convinces Shadwell to let him go on this witch hunting journey. And this is where we get some history on different witch hunting, and the last witch to be burned left a box and a book with instructions on what to do with it, and that is Agnes, which is anathema's relative, and Newt's relative is the one that burned her. So full circle. Newt got into
like Stanley and what's his butt? I was gonna say what's his butt or face, and it came out what's his foot. Stanley and Zero.
Oh yeah. I was like, what are you talking about?
I was like, I'm looking at Allie for help. I'm like, this is your book that you are obsessed
with. Yeah, maybe if you said holes. Oh my gosh. So on the way to this town, Newt got into a crash, and Anathema found him and healed him up.
So a little bit ago, Allie talked about all the weird random going ons in the town that is basically being controlled by Adam. And in the show, Newt's driving along and he sees a UFO and is like, what? But in the book, I really wish they'd show this. The UFOs are coming and like aliens are coming out being like, what is it? What's the thing that aliens say? Why? I'm fucking
come going, in peace.
Thank you. I'm going Catholic. I was going to come out and say peace
be with you.
Oh no.
Catholic, I'm going Catholic.
I really was. I was like, those aliens are coming off that UFO saying peace be with you. I was like, that's not right. And then Newt does not get into a car crash in the show, and therefore Adam does not take him to Anathema.
Wait, yes, he does get in a crash.
Maybe my note just means that Adam doesn't take him to an... I think it doesn't happen where it was like supposed to happen in the show. It does happen, but Adam isn't the one that takes him.
I think she just finds him.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So Adam and his friends are talking, and he starts hearing this really intense voice, and he realizes it's himself.
Another thing I should make mention of here
is Anathema knows that he's a witchfinder because there's a sticker on his car bumper in the show. That's a witchfinder sticker. But in the book, it's he's got like an ID in his wallet that she's like, oh, yeah, you're a witchfinder.
Yes.
And also just some commentary. It took me reading the book to understand that the UFO thing was because of what Adam was talking about, because the first time I watched it, I was like, what in the fuck? Why is there a UFO coming? Like, I know. And it's literally just a split second. The UFO comes flying by and then it's gone. And then there's no mention of aliens ever again.
It's so funny because I was the opposite. I didn't get it at all in the book. And then in the show, I'm like, oh, yeah, OK, that makes sense. It's because Adam says things and then it shows them happening.
Yeah. No, me, I was thoroughly confused. And then read it and I was like, oh,
that's so funny.
Mm-hmm.
So Anathema is explaining that the end of the world's coming to Newt. And he's like, what is happening right now? And she can't figure out what she needs to do. She doesn't know who the son of Satan is because she lost her grandmother's book. But then it all clicks and she realizes who it is.
Yeah, that pretty much happens.
Okay. Adam told all his friends that the world's about to be super different. And he's going to make new parents for all the friends. And they'll new rules. Like, they never have to go to bed again. They get to play all the time. They're going to rule the world. And he begins to control his friends' actions. And Newt and the witch end up hooking up. So that's what her ancestors predicted.
Yeah, that pretty much happens. Mm-hmm. I would say in the show, I don't think Adam really controls his friends as much as he did in the book.
Yeah.
But I mean, all he does is he like,
what,
like gets rid of their mouths.
Yeah. Okay. So Aziraphale called up to heaven and let them know, hey, I found the spawn of Satan, and gave them his location because he's trying to stop the war. And they're like, no, we're not stopping the war. We're winning the war. And after they hung up, Aziraphale heard someone in his house and it was Shadwell. And he had heard the conversation with heaven and he's like, oh my gosh. So he tries to trap Aziraphale in a trap and exorcise him. Is exorcise and exorcise spelled the same?
No.
Okay. That's it's why.
Exorcise with an O.
Okay.
Yeah. Time to go for a walk.
Put his leash on. Come on, Angel. So, but Aziraphale didn't go cast back to hell because he's not a demon. He got sucked back up to heaven.
So, in the show, Crowley and Aziraphale have kind of gone through this like little breakup thing where they're not really talking to each other when all of this goes down. Because in the book, he's immediately like, crap, I gotta call Crowley, I gotta get him informed and things. But in the show, it was like he still did it, but it was very much like, oh, but we're not talking, so should I? And then another thing is in the show, at this point, Aziraphale has gone and talked to Gabriel, who's on Earth, multiple times. That never happens in the book. And then in the show, it's the voice of God who basically catches the bookshop on fire because Aziraphale like calls up to heaven or they call down to him and it's like, what's going on?
Mm-hmm.
And then he says things that they don't like. So they start a fire. It's not Shadwell. Shadwell then shows up at the shop before he's taken to heaven. Oh, wait. No, he shows up after he's taken to heaven in the show. But shows up before because he's exorcising the demon.
Yeah.
So that doesn't happen in the show.
Crowley tried to get in contact with Shadwell, which I find hilarious because here's an actual demon. like in contact with him.
But I also love that Crowley and Aziraphale are like, I have to talk to my contact here on Earth.
Yes.
And they're like, yes, me too. And then it's the same person.
Oh my gosh. but he was unavailable. He then gets a phone call from hell and they're pissed because he fell through with Warlock and he tried to hang up, but they ended up showing up and Crowley disappeared through the phone line and the other demon followed and Crowley ended up losing him, but the other demon got stuck in the answering machine.
Yeah, that happens.
Mm-hmm. Crowley decides to go to Aziraphale and his bookshop's on fire and Crowley went in shouting for him and this is when he found the Book of Prophecies and he took it.
Yeah, that happens.
He's at a bar and he's, or not, he's at a bar. This is a different bar. At a bar, slowly these four bikers show up. It's the random people we met earlier. Scarlet, Sable, Mr. White, and the random mysterious guy is playing a trivia game in the other room. And he's there with some other random people. They're like, wow, oh my gosh, because he keeps winning. These are the four horsemen of the apocalypse.
In the show, there's no trivia happening, and I really wish there was. Instead, he's playing just arcade games, but the rest of it happens. Except for they didn't have different names. They were all just war and pollution and all that.
Yep. So a preacher was giving a sermon on TV and all of a sudden he was taken over by Aziraphale, right?
Mm-hmm.
For this moment, like, because he's trying to manifest into someone so he can come back down to earth.
Because he's also trying to find someone who's close to what, like, where shit's about to go down. Yes. He's like, wait, excuse me, where are we? This doesn't happen in the show, and I wish it did. It
does not. Yes, that would have been so funny.
Hilarious.
Mm. So there were other bikers at the bar who I had mentioned that were watching Death do his little thing, the mysterious guy. And they decided, hey, we're going to make our own apocalypse. And they all decide on destructive names for themselves. And they follow the four horsemen.
Oh, I forgot about them because they are not in the show.
They're not in the show.
Yeah, my next one is four horsemen take four random weirdos on their ride to the airfield in the book. That does not happen in the show.
So Madam Tracy is the medium that lives in the same building as Shadwell, and she's pretty good at scamming people. She's like, oh, yes, come in. I'll talk to your dead husband. Mm-hmm. But all of a sudden, Aziraphale comes through and it throws everybody off.
This happens, except for that he goes through a few more people before he finally gets to her.
Mm-hmm.
There's like a lady and one other. I can't remember who the other one was, but his parts are so funny.
They're funny. So then there's a random lorry that's hit by sharks and massive fish, and it's just like they're piled high with all this sea life. And Newt and
Anathema.
Yep, they end up hooking up. That was actually pretty funny in the show.
Yeah, it was hilarious in the show.
Because what was it? It's like, oh yeah, Shadwell's like, he must be in pain. And then they flashed it
to them. Oh, so much pain.
Yes. So Madam Tracy found Shadwell and Aziraphale is speaking through her. And he's freaked out because he's like, I already exercised you. And he also thought she was a witch, but she's like, calm down, you're fine. And she convinced him to kill the son of Satan.
Yeah, that happens. The
Lori part doesn't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but the rest of it does.
Mm-hmm. So now they're at the Lori full of fish, and the police are trying to stop the horsemen because they're like riding their bikes and they're going super fast. They're like, no, stop, stop. But they just jump. They like use it as a ramp in my head.
Yeah, that's how I imagined it too. Yeah.
And then the fake horsemen try and jump it too because they're like, they could do it, we could do it. And they go and they just crash right into all these fish.
Flat. That does not happen in the show.
Nope. Crowley had 2 hours to get to Adam before the end of the world. So he decided he had to jump through the fire blocking the town. And there was a telemarketer and the place and they called Crowley's number and then the demon came through and he's like maggots and he kills everybody and it's just a whole disaster.
Crowley jumping over the Lowry doesn't happen, but he does realize that he needs to get through. He drives through fire.
Yeah.
And the rest of that happens.
Cool.
Mm-hmm.
Adam and his friends talked about controlling the world. His friends start asking where he wants to control because he asked all of them where they want to control. And he's like, yes, you can be in charge of this. Yes, yes, yes. And he's like, oh, I just want to be in charge of our town. And they're like, no, you can't because that's part of England and that's where I control and all this sort of stuff. They're arguing and Adam starts talking in this really weird voice and it freaks everyone out. And then the earth cracks underneath them. And finally, he's all knowing. He knows everything and what the heck's going like. Oh, my gosh, I'm the son of Satan and all this sort of stuff. And he calms down his friends. And he's like, you guys, I need your help. And then Newt saw that the sky was red and they knew it was starting.
Yeah, that pretty much happens.
Yep. Madame Tracy, Aziraphale, and Shadwell are on a little moped. And they're only going like 3 miles an hour. So Aziraphale's like, okay, I got to use some angel magic. And he does. And they go super fast.
They don't ever go. Oh, wait. Yeah, they are.
They going, like fly. Well, they described it as like Star Wars.
Yeah.
In the book.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's kind of.
Well, no. In my head, they just got on it and he made it fly right away. But no, they putter a little bit. And then he's like, this is too slow.
Yeah.
But I imagine in the book it happening for longer and then him finally being like, okay, I gotta use my miracle because he's so against using miracles.
Yeah.
So,
yep. Newt and Anathema were using the prediction cards to help them get to the right place. He's like, just pick one because whatever you pick, it'll be right because your grandma predicted it's all going to work out. So that means whatever you pick is going to be right. She's like, that's the worst logic ever. But in reality, it's very smart logic.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. I was like, why are you not thinking that that's smart? But yes, that does happen in the show.
This new character, R.P. Tyler, is some local. And the four horsemen ask him directions to the airbase and he gives it to them. Then comes Adam and his crew. And he's like, where are you going? And they're like, the airbase. Then Madame Tracy, Aziraphale, and Shadwell come and ask him for directions. And he gives them directions to the airbase. And lastly comes Crowley with his car on fire. And he asks for directions.
In the show, this happens.
It does, but I wish it happened like the book. So in the book, it's like all one after another.
Yeah.
And I mean, it makes sense why they broke it up. Because otherwise, like, duh, they'd all see each other.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it was so funny how it was just like, he's like, oh my gosh, he like turns and like the new guys are there.
Well, they also explain in the book that it's like this old dude who hates everything and he's already like, he's writing up a letter in his head to complain to the city about the dog parks or something like that.
Yeah, and the bikers and all sitting there. Sort of stuff.
And then the bikers come through and he's like, oh my gosh, I need to write a letter about the bikers. And then kids come through and he's like, oh my gosh, these kids are annoying and they're up to no good, blah, blah, blah. Whereas in the show, they can't really show that. They do say that he's basically writing a letter to the city in his head, but that's all they can show.
Yep. So death, war, famine, and pollution got to the airbase by tricking the guards that it was a surprise inspection. And everyone else shows up and is trying to figure out how to get in. Adam and his crew just roll in because he uses his magic Satan powers to open the gates. And the four horsemen are in like headquarter area and they shut power off to the whole world and it just starts going crazy.
One thing I wanted to make note of is when Newt and Anathema are trying to get into the basically air base, naval base, whatever, they find a tree that's fallen on the fence. And in the book, there's a guard that's sitting on top of the tree because they know that people might try to come in there. And so they have to figure out a way to get around the guard in the book. In the movie, there's just a hope opening in the fence and they're like, okay, let's go. So easy for them. And then one thing I want to make a note of is when Crowley and Aziraphale meet up again at this part in the book, Crowley had no idea that Aziraphale was like finding a body to be there. So like, his line, I forgot his line, but it's one of my favorite lines from the book because he like says, He says it in the show too, but how he says it in the book, it's like because he's in surprise, like, what? Crowley, you're here?
Yeah.
And then he's like, well, the dress suits you.
Yes.
Whereas in the show, Crowley knew what he was doing and like had told them, like, you need to find a body. And told him that he liked the dress on him still. Oh, and then the other thing I want to say here is that in the book, when they're talking about the kids riding their bikes past the guards, they said that they looked like the kids riding by from E.T. And literally every time I watch this show before I had read the book, every time they come by, I'm like, this has to be like a huge nod to either like E.T. or the Super 8 or whichever one came out that was also like a nod E.T. Then I read that and I was like, no wonder it's a nod to E.T.
Because it is.
So Adam was confronted by the four horsemen and his friends stood up to each horseman. And then Adam had to stand up to death.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Newt and Anathema are trying to start the electricity again. Because he sucks at electronics, he was able to break what the four horsemen did and it fixed it all. And Adam did not like that Madame Tracy and Aziraphale were sharing a body, so he gave Aziraphale a body back.
Yeah, that happens.
Mm-hmm. The voice of God came down to talk to Adam, and Death was also there trying to convince Adam on ending the world. And he said he doesn't want to be the ruler of the world. He does have ideas how to make Earth better, though. And the voice of God and Death left. And Crowley and Aziraphale showed their true angel and demon forms and spoke to Adam.
That doesn't.
Yeah. I mean, it's like in heaven.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Not heaven, but it's like,
no. So a thing, too, is like the whole last episode kind of like there's a whole bunch of extra stuff. And one of the things is like Crowley and Aziraphale have to go to their respective higher ups and basically like tell them their side of the story and what happened. And they know that they're going to get in trouble. And so what they end up doing is they end up doing a little switcheroo and Aziraphale goes up to heaven. Or nope, he's already in heaven. He goes down to hell. And Crowley goes up to heaven looking like the other one, so that when the holy water goes in Crowley and the hellfire goes on Aziraphale, they're fine and nothing happens.
It was very cute. Mm-hmm. My favorite part is like when Aziraphale / Crowley was laying in the tub of holy water. Yeah. He's just like la-da-da-da-da talking and all the demons are like, what is this? They're like freaking out. Oh my gosh, it's so funny. All right, so it's now the next day and Newt gets a package. It's from 300 years ago and the postman's like, I'm very interested to see what's in here. Newt let him open it and it was a prophecy about the postman. And Madame Tracy and Shadwell were hanging out and getting friendlier, and Warlock was on his way home from the Middle East going to America, and he didn't understand why he couldn't just go back to England.
That does happen.
Okay. And now Adam's in big trouble because his dad doesn't know what happened last night. And he sneakily does magic to let his dog escape. And he's like, oh, no, I have to go get my dog. And he's running out and they're in like this orchard. And he grabs a couple apples and then he goes back home.
And that happens.
Yep. Mm-hmm. What a cool way. I liked how they ended it with the
Apple,
and they started it with apple.
Mm-hmm.
Very cute.
It's good.
Yes. And that's that.
Yeah.
We did it. We did a lot less. We did a lot more at Nerd Party than we
actually thought. Yeah. Well, because you had printed the notes, and so when we were flipping through, I was like, oh, crap.
Yeah, because there was a lot.
Yeah.
But we did good. All right. So, this is, again, as we said, only season one.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not about to go through and figure out what cast was only in season one for you. So there's 195 people cast for both seasons of this show. First, we got David Tennant as Crowley.
God, I love him.
He was so good.
I am sad about Johnny, but I know. It's a toss up for me, but I do love Tennant as Crowley.
Yeah. Yeah, I think he did good.
Mm-hmm.
Michael Sheen played Aziraphale.
Their chemistry together is phenomenal.
So good.
Yeah, it's amazing. I love him as Aziraphale, and I like, I never would have thought that they would have been good together, but holy crap.
When reading it, I pictured Matt Smith, but I don't know if it was because of the doctor thing or what, but no.
Mm-hmm.
Michael Sheen did great.
Yes, I agree.
Michael McKean played Shadwell.
He was hilarious.
He was so funny.
Yeah, he was good.
Miranda Richardson played Madame Tracy.
She was great.
Yes, I liked her a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Jack Whitehall is Newt.
He was amazing.
He was so good. He was so cute. Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He was adorable.
Yep. Sam Taylor Buck played Adam.
I thought he did good.
I thought so.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Of course you did.
I had to put this one in there. Ollie played Dog.
He was cute.
So cute.
Mm-hmm.
Good job, Ollie. We got Adria Arjona. Arjona?
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 Yeah, Arjona, maybe?
Probably. Played Anathema.
I thought she did great.
I think so. Mm-hmm. She was really good.
Yeah, she was.
And John Hamm played Gabriel.
Okay, I'm only making us talk about this because he's amazing in the second season, guys.
I really need to watch it. We tried, but that was when we did our nerd party craft night.
So she was focused on crafting.
Yeah, so I wasn't super paying attention. But yeah. So I got hit bits and pieces here and there, but I gotta go back and watch the whole thing.
He's hilarious. And so he's not a big character in this one, but the next one, oh my gosh, he's fantastic.
Yes, yes. Frances McDormand played God.
I loved it. I also really loved the cast of female for God.
It was good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right, you guys.
Is the theme of the book and the movie the same?
Yes.
100%.
Do the characters stay true?
100%.
Yes. What do you prefer?
God damn it. I keep going back and forth. Like, we talk about things, and I'm like, yeah, that's why I like the book more. And then we talk about other things, and I'm like, yeah, that's why I like the show more. Have you decided?
I have.
What is yours?
It was really hard because I chose book. Mm-hmm. Because it was hard because I love seeing the chemistry.
Yeah.
And I love, it's just, you can imagine it, but then when you actually see it, it's a whole extra level of funny, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
But I've never read a book that's so funny.
Witty. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was just such a unexpected thing for me that I was like, this is so fun.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, that's why I chose book.
Yeah, this is hard because I would do both again. Like, there's no even, like, I can't even do the, if you had to sit down and do this.
Yeah, flip a coin and then bowl. What your gut says. Here, I got a coin app.
Oh, that's smart. Okay.
Okay. Okay. What's heads going to be?
Book.
Okay. Heads.
I wanted it to be tails.
You wanted to be tails. Okay, yeah. There you go. See, that's why you do it. So you like the show more.
Yeah, I do. I do. I think the show's so fun.
It is fun.
It was such a great introduction. But like I said, goddamn, it's too hard.
It's hard. It's hard.
This is like one of the most perfect adaptations we've covered.
I think so.
Mm-hmm.
It helps that it's a show.
Mm-hmm.
They got more.
Mm-hmm. More screen time.
Screen time. But they didn't abuse it. Like, it was a 12-hour book.
And a 10-hour show.
Yeah.
8 hour? It was
eight.
8 hour show.
Yeah. So they had just enough room to fit everything minus, you know, a couple things here and there.
Mm-hmm. And like things that weren't in it were small little bit things that could not be in it.
Yeah. It was good.
Mm-hmm.
Would you recommend it to a friend?
1,010,000%.
Yes.
Both of them.
Agreed.
Everyone needs to read it. Everyone needs to watch it. I'm so sad that I haven't read it sooner.
I know.
It blows my mind.
It's so good.
Mm-hmm.
And that's that.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
All right, guys. You like what we're doing? Check out our website. it'll show you more of what we're doing.
Yes, it will. All sorts of stuff. offscript253.wixsite.com/offscript.
Super easy.
Yep. On that website, you can rate us, subscribe, review, chat with us. There's a little chat bubble. You just click it. You say, hi, Offscript, I love you. And then we'll chat back and say, hello, random citizen. We love you too.
Yes, that's exactly how that will go. Ooh, you excited for Wednesday?
Back to minisodes only on Wednesdays.
Yes.
What's it gonna be?
We have absolutely no idea. I think this is the only thing that's a downfall of doing straight minisodes.
Because we don't know what they're gonna be.
Yeah.
We decide week of, hey, but you know what? That's the fun part, because that's why we did minisodes. We wanted to interact with all our peeps.
We did. So if you interact with us, that's the episode that we'll interact with you on.
Yeah. And I like when we say we have no idea, because then we don't commit ourselves to anything like we did last season.
That's true. I mean, sometimes we do commit ourselves to things and then we go, oh shit, still, but
yes.
Yeah, last season was rough.
Anyways, poor choices on our end, but you know what?
That's good. We made it.
Yeah, we did.
And then, go for it.
Monday is I'll Be Gone in the Dark. For your number two book for your month.
Mm-hmm. Let's see how that goes. It's a true crime nonfiction.
That's our first nonfiction book.
Yeah, it's our first nonfiction book, and it's a documentary.
Yeah.
And
true crime.
I didn't fully realize that's what the show was going to be. I mean, what kind of an idiot am I to not realize that?
Was be?
I don't know.
No, I think you didn't realize it was a show. You thought it was a movie. Or not a movie, but like a...
No, I knew it was a show. I just thought it was like...
Not at first, because I remember you being like, oh my gosh.
I thought it was like a six... Nope. I thought it was like four parts. I didn't think it was like a...
A whole eight-part show?
Yeah.
Oh, got it.
And... I thought, because I knew Karen Kilgariff was in it, and I thought she was going to be playing a role of someone.
Oh, I see.
And then it was not that. So.
No, it was not.
Uh-uh. Let's see how that goes.
Let's see. Come tune in on Monday and we'll let you know.
Yeah. But hey, I get my true crime in. I'm here for it.
Yep.
Allie's not.
That's okay. We're getting it done and over with this season. Who knows? I've only watched it so far. I haven't read the book yet. Maybe I'll change thoughts.
Doubt it. But hey. All right.
Okay.
With that, good omens.
Went off script.
Bye.
Thanks for sticking with us.
We hope you enjoyed it.
If you did, we would greatly appreciate it if you gave us 5 beautiful stars, reviewed, and subscribed.
You can also follow us on Facebook at Offscript, on Instagram at OffscriptPodcast21, and on TikTok at Offscript_pod.
Shout outs to Madame Ashen Creations for our adorable logo art.
And Adam Daniel for our incredible theme song.
And to Creative Cinephile Productions for producing our podcast.
See you next time.
Hi, I'm Serena.
And I'm Rachel.
We are the hosts of Book Tales.
If you like reading books,
drinking cocktails,
and Scottish accents,
then meet your new favourite podcast.
Come with us as we explore different themes from romanticism to horror and everything in between.
We pair each book with a bespoke cocktail and tell you everything you'll need to make one.
And each week, play our fun game tailored to each book.
Find Book Tales wherever you get your podcasts. So grab your book.
Grab your booze.
For Book Tales.